back, ladies and gentlemen. This August the 2nd, 2008 edition of the Liberty Hour. As usual, I am Mark Glenn, Cub reporter with American Free Press newspaper, and along with me is my very good friend Phil Turney, survivor of the USS Liberty, war hero, great American. Not enough good things that I can say about Phil. Phil, are you with us?
Yeah, good morning, Mark. How are you doing this wonderful Saturday morning?
It is wonderful. Beautiful weather here in North Idaho. I know that it's usually beautiful in Colorado, where you are. But more importantly, Phil, today we have an extremely important guest that we are having on with us today, who we will be bringing up in a few minutes. As usual, let's get some business out of the way. As we do every week, Phil and I want to thank Republic Broadcasting, and in particular John Stadtmiller, the head honcho over at Republic, for giving us the opportunity of doing this radio program. All the good folks there who are running the board and answering the phone calls and whatnot. And, of course, the listeners out there who have been extremely supportive of the show. Phil and I are not ones to brag, but bringing the good news to people that this show has grown exponentially, obviously, is good news for all of us. And so we want to get that business out of the way. Of course, there's a lot to talk about in the news, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been paying attention, the quote-unquote anthrax mailer has been caught, and he has killed himself. This is the conventional wisdom that we are being fed from the mainstream media. Of course, they're not saying that he's the culprit, but as is usual these days in this age of controlled information, it's being hinted very strongly in that direction. Now, I cannot help but notice that this event is following so closely on the heels of an equally important event that took place about a month ago, where Stephen Hatfill, who was a researcher at the Fort Detrick bioweapons lab in Fort Detrick, Maryland, won a lawsuit against the federal government to the tune of almost $6 million for his reputation being ruined by the U.S. Justice Department, who named him as a person of interest. Now, I don't know. Call me a conspiracy theorist, whatever, but I just find this to be extremely interesting that these two events are taking place so quickly to each other, you see. The fact that the guy that they say most likely did it has killed himself after learning that the U.S. Justice Department was about to hand down an indictment against him. The fact that he has killed himself, well, we're going to talk about this a little bit with today's guest. We'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, by telling you that today's guest is none other than Ray McGovern. Now, Ray McGovern, for those of you out there who are not familiar with his name, which I would assume, given the makeup of our audience, very few people out there are not familiar with the name Ray McGovern. He is a former Army intelligence officer and, more importantly, a former CIA analyst. And Ray has made some pretty big waves out there with some of the articles that he has written as it pertains to the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, the upcoming war against Iran. And Ray is going to be with us for the 2 hours. I cannot tell you, ladies and gentlemen, how excited Phil and I are to have Ray on with us. I've been a big fan of his for quite a number of years. And he is going to tell us some things that, well, for lack of a better word, they're going to be shocking. There is the music indicating we are going to our first break. Stay tuned. We will be back in 3 minutes to do our usual dedication. Ray McGovern, everyone, stay tuned.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Question: is the world getting better or vastly worse? The world economic collapse could come any day. Question: are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question: do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
Do you ever forget why you walked into a room or where you put the car keys? Do you feel like you might be slowing down mentally? That could be a sign that the brain is aging. Our brains control nearly every function of our body, including our ability to learn, remember, and concentrate. Sadly, as we age, our brain cells begin to die off. We may lose 30 to 50,000 a day. In youth, brain cells are protected by special proteins, but these proteins become depleted as we age. University scientists in Wisconsin found a unique calcium-binding protein in jellyfish that can protect brain cells. Prevagen is the only all-natural replacement source for these proteins. Studies show that Prevagen can reduce brain cell loss by up to an astounding 50%. Side effects? The only kind reported are the ones you want, like a healthier brain, a sharper mind, and clearer thinking. Find out more by visiting our website at Prevagen.com. You can also purchase Prevagen by calling 888-814-0814. That's Prevagen.com or 888-814-0814. Call today for a special offer from Prevagen.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are on the first hour of the Liberty Hour, and I want to welcome you aboard for this hour of the Liberty Hour. And as usual, I always let everybody know my name is Phil Turney, survivor of the USS Liberty. The unprovoked murderous attack on our ship, June 8, 1967, where 34 men were slaughtered. 174 others were wounded, some so critically they did not survive. Others are still trying to get over their wounds physically and mentally. And this show is dedicated, ladies and gentlemen, to the memory of those men who were killed and the memory of the men that served their country so honorably. And our country dishonorably did not come protect us when they had every means and every right to. This is one of the things we're fighting for, is to get the truth out. And I want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, when our ship was attacked, they attacked not only our ship, as you know, we had a flagship in international waters, but they attacked our very right to exist, your right to exist. They attacked the United States of America and our way of life. And nobody should be allowed to get by with that type of action of a treasonous country that would attack their only friend and ally in the world, the government of Israel. Now, Israel and the United States has been covering up this atrocity for the last 41 years, and this show has brought out more and more of what happened and the truth about the USS Liberty than anything that has happened in the last 40 years. That includes films, books, or whatever. People are more informed now than they've ever been. And I just want to thank the listening audience for their time, for giving us a chance, Mark and I and our guests, a chance to inform the public. And we're here for you to tell the truth, you know, and if you call us and say that, hey, maybe I don't think this is right, we could take the criticism, but also on the other side, you have to understand that, you know, we could back up everything we say. We got a $10,000 reward for anybody can prove that we're lying about what we're saying. And we hope you call in and take us up on it, and try to collect on the $10,000. But anyway, again, I remind you, God bless America, God bless the crew of the USS Liberty, and God bless our troops overseas now, and may they come home safely and soon, and let's pray we don't get another war or mixed up in the Middle East with Iran. And again, as Mark said earlier, our guest is Ray McGovern, and I don't know Ray, but I've heard a lot about him, and I don't know if I should call you Ray or Mr. McGovern, however you choose, I'll address you that way, sir. But with that being said, Mark, if you'd please take over from here, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
As Phil and I both indicated, we have a very special guest on with us today, and I do emphasize that word special because, you know, it's one thing for Phil or me or anybody else to make the kinds of allegations that we've been making these last couple of months about the danger that the United States faces in widening this already present disaster in Iraq and Afghanistan to include Iran. Now, having somebody, however, from the inside, or somebody who was an insider for many years, coming forth and saying the same things, of course, with a much more sophisticated view, is another matter altogether. And we are lucky to have with us today this very individual. But before I bring him up, I want to read something to you that appears in an article that he recently wrote. And the name of the article is Israel planning a September-October surprise? Of course, we've all heard about the October surprise ever since the days of George H.W. Bush. And now, you know, this phrase is used to introduce the idea that an election is going to be affected by a manufactured event. I just want to read a few excerpts of this piece that Mr. McGovern has written as a means of introducing his topic. Speaking about the possibility of removing U.S. troops from Iraq, Mr. McGovern writes, quote, "My guess is that the Israeli leaders are apoplectic. This dramatic change, or even just the specter of it, greatly increases Israel's incentive to ensure U.S. involvement in the area that would endure for several years. The Israelis need to create, quote, facts on the ground, something to guarantee Washington will stand by, quote, our ally. The legislation drafted by AIPAC calls for a blockade of Iran. That would certainly be one way to entangle us. There are many others." Excuse me. "The point is that the growing danger that the Israelis perceive will probably prompt them to find a way to get the U.S. involved in hostilities with Iran. All Israel has to do is to arrange to be attacked. Not a problem. There are endless possibilities among which Israel can choose to catalyze such a confrontation. Viewed from Tel Aviv, it appears an increasingly threatening situation with more urgent need to, quote, embed the United States even more deeply in the region, in a confrontation involving both countries with Iran. A perfect storm is brewing. In sum, Israel is likely to be preparing a September-October surprise designed to keep the United States bogged down in Iraq and in the wider region by provoking hostilities with Iran. And don't be surprised if it starts as early as August." Now, today, ladies and gentlemen, is August the 2nd. And according to Mr. McGovern's prediction, we could be seeing something happen, some type of flashpoint take place this month. Ray McGovern, are you with us, sir?
I am, and in answer to Phil's question, please call me Ray.
Thank you, Ray. I'll certainly do that. And welcome to the show, sir. And we're very proud to have you here and looking forward to a great discussion and a great show.
Well, I think we're all in the same business here. We're all trying to spread a little truth around, so I'm delighted to be with you.
Ray, why don't you just spend a minute or so telling the listeners who you are and why they should take stock of what you have to say?
Well, they can take stock or they can hang up right now or turn the radio off, depending on whether they're interested in the bald truth. I served as an Army intelligence and infantry officer back in the 60s, and as a specialist in Russian studies, had my master's degree in Soviet studies, and so it was a natural transition into the Central Intelligence Agency in the analytic, the analysis division. I labored there for the next 27 years. Those were good years because we could generally speaking, tell it like it is. We could speak truth to power. And I was equally happy to leave at the end because I could see that that sort of ethos was dissipating under the influence of people like Bill Casey, Ronald Reagan's head of the CIA, who was putting ideology above the truth. So I have since certainly before the war in Iraq, been joining with several of my colleagues, my former colleagues, who are also analysts for the most part, although we have some operations people as well, in something called Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. We formally established ourselves through a year of email exchange, you know, sanity checks. When one comes to a conclusion that the President of the United States is lying through his teeth, one is a little hesitant to put that on the International Herald Tribune without checking it out with colleagues. And it's not like you're working in a collegial atmosphere anymore, but email is the next best thing. So we gave each other sanity checks all during 2002, and that's one of the reasons we added sanity to our title, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Suffice it to say that our first memorandum addressed directly to the president, just as we used to do when we were on active duty, so to speak, was a same-day critique of Colin Powell's speech at the UN. I'll just say that what the last sentence stated, and that was simply that, Mr. President, we strongly advise you to broaden the circle of your advisors beyond those who are clearly bent on a war for which we see no compelling reason and from which we believe the unintended consequences are likely to be catastrophic. Now, that was February 5, 2003. We weren't the only ones. Scott Ritter and others were saying the same thing. The president chose to ignore that. We chose to do two more memos before the invasion, talking about the forgeries, the manufacture of intelligence, and so forth, but we got no play in the major media, and the war began. Since then, we have been talking about Iraq and Iran increasingly in the last few months, because many of us are persuaded the chances are better than even that before this president leaves office, he and Cheney will start a war with Iran. They think they can bomb it with impunity, but it will be the beginning of a major regional, if not world war, and we need to speak out now, not later.
Let me ask you, you said several very important things, Mr. McGovern. First of all, you mentioned the fact that during your years in the CIA, the good old days when you could freely speak your mind, particularly as it pertained to the Soviet threat. Now, you say that when Ronald Reagan took over and Casey took over as head of the CIA, that all of a sudden you guys were being muffled. Now, were you being muffled with regards to intelligence involving the Soviet Union, or are we talking about different entities here?
Well, it was primarily the Soviet Union. That was the bugaboo for Casey. There was no discounting the Soviet threat in those days, but Casey had the attitude that if you turned over a rock in Central America, well, you'd find a Soviet. And those who fell in line and said, "Whoops, wait a second, this big rock has two Soviets under it," well, those are the ones that got promoted, and those are the ones that George Tenet could tend to falsify.
I'm sorry, Mr. McGovern, to interrupt. We have to go to a commercial break. We will be right back. Hold that thought, everyone. Stay tuned. Don't go away. We have Ray McGovern with us.
Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
1.
The preservation of capital.
2.
Consistent profitability. And
3.
The pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, this August 2nd, 2008 edition of the Liberty Hour. We have with us today, ladies and gentlemen, a very special guest, and it is Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst and member of a group called Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, who has written some extremely provocative and what I consider to be vital articles out there on the Internet, warning about not only the danger of disaster that we find ourselves in right now, but the probable disaster, if we are to put credence to Mr. McGovern's predictions, the probable disaster we're going to be facing if we attack Iran. Now, Mr. McGovern, before the commercial break, you were in the middle of discussing the Soviets and whatnot. What I'm interested in, sir, is, you know, by the time Ronald Reagan took over in 1980, the attack on the USS Liberty was or at least should have been somewhat fresh in people's minds. Only 13 years. After all, we are talking about a U.S. ship being attacked, a sustained attack that lasted for almost an hour and a half, resulting in 34 deaths. Now, when you talk about this silencing of certain analyses and whatnot during these years, how did Israel and the discussion of Israel play into all of this at that time?
Well, it was stifled then, and it's still being stifled now in the what I call the fawning corporate media. Mm-hmm. As for the intelligence agencies, It used to be that we would be very careful to be nonpartisan and objective, and it was difficult with respect to Israel because even before I left, and I left in 1990, even before I left, there were a lot of pressures being exerted to treat Israel in a special way. Suffice it to say that what I've noticed over the last few months is that we have intelligence community executives like the deputy to Mike McConnell, the director of national intelligence, going off and briefing WINEP, which is a openly, avowedly pro-Israeli think tank set up by a person who was once a deputy at AIPAC, going off and briefing them. And not only he, but one of the nuclear experts from the CIA goes over there to give them a briefing on Iran. Well, you know, that is so totally inappropriate. So totally inappropriate that, you know, it seems to me that they are oblivious of the political realities here and are taking their cue from a politically naive former admiral, McConnell. And, well, if the White House wants you to go brief the most rabid, one of the most rabid pro-Israeli organizations in the city, well, go do it. There's no balance there. And I'm afraid that if McConnell is running the show, it's going to be a hard battle to stick by the conclusions of the November 07 NIE, which very courageously said that Iran had stopped working on the nuclear weapons-related part of its nuclear program in mid-2003 and had not, I repeat, and had not renewed, had not reestablished his program as of mid-2007. Those are big judgments. And the president, vice president, and even McConnell have sort of backslid on that. The president and the vice president saying, well, we don't agree. We have a different view. Well, you know, who are they listening to? Where are they getting their intelligence, if not from the 16 intelligence agencies of the U.S. government who unanimously approved the estimate? So it's a very, very labile, as the Germans would say, very, very delicate situation right now. And with only five plus months left in this administration, the Israelis very much feel that they've extracted a promise from George W. Bush. Actually, he said it in public. You know, we will not allow Iran to have a nuclear weapons capability. Okay, well, if he leaves office without fulfilling his, quote, promise, end quote, to Israel, well, you know, he's the kind of guy who will feel, you know, gosh, you know, I have no legacy here at all. I didn't even successfully defend our close, quote, ally, end quote, Israel. So with Cheney whispering in his ear and with Elliot Abrams, the author of that fantastic travesty where they tried to take over Gaza for their Palestinian puppets running the show, you know, I expect the very worst. And what I hear Admiral Mullen saying, you know, he's saying all manner of things, as you know, but he sounds very, very defensive when he says, no, no, we don't want a third front. We don't know, you know, we don't have what the Pentagon calls escalation dominance, end quote. What that means is that the Iranians will be able to control the pace and the time and the locale of any escalation that happens, and that's a really bad situation for U.S. forces to be in. And so what I see is Mullen fighting a rear guard action, not against the Israelis so much as against the vice president and Elliot Abrams, who both seem hell-bent on fulfilling the, quote, promise, end quote, that Bush has made to the Israelis.
Oh, boy, there's that music. Ugh, hate it. All right, everybody stay tuned. We will be back in three, and we will have a good extended 20, 25 minutes to continue this uninterrupted. We will be right back. Don't go away, ladies and gentlemen. You don't want to miss the show today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Do you ever forget names or where you left your glasses? Christine also realized she didn't remember like she used to.
I'm forgetting where things are occasionally, or I go into a room and I'm wondering, now, why am I here?
She often forgot and misplaced things like her keys.
I would spend so much time looking for things like that, and I just would assume that that was just a part of aging.
Then she discovered Prevagen. Special proteins in our brain responsible for keeping cells alive that control learning and memory are depleted with age. Now there's a new option to replace these proteins, Prevagen. If your ability to remember is fading with time, try all natural Prevagen, PrevaGen.com. That's Prevagen.com.
And I find that in my business, I'm able to focus on the tasks at hand.
To find out how to get a free bottle of Prevagen, call 888-814-0814.
And so I'm not as forgetful, and it's really helping me that way.
Call 888-814-0814.
Hi, I'm Ayala Jags. I'm in business just like you. I spend a lot of time on my cell phone, and I'm very concerned about the potential dangers of cell phone radiation, and you should be too. I found dozens of studies from around the world linking cell phone use to everything from skin conditions to brain tumors. It's shocking, it's scary. Numerous products claim to block cell phone radiation, but do they really? Then I found the Wave Shield. It's the only shielding device that has survived rigorous testing in an FTC-listed lab and is proven to block up to 97% of cell phone radiation from entering your sensitive inner ear. The Wave Shield is easy to apply, it fits almost every phone, and it really, really works. Don't take chances. Protect yourself, protect your family. The Wave Shield is only $19.95. Take just a moment. Call and order your Wave Shield right now. The evidence is growing. Why take a chance? Protect everyone you love. Call now.
866-989-9147.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, for the Liberty Hour. We have with us as a guest today a very special guest, Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst. Ray, I hate to be hogging the conversation and not bringing Phil into it, but I have a question for you, and then I'm going to turn this over to Phil. It seems to me that with the release of the NIE, and let's face it, the United States is no slouch when it comes to intelligence. You would think that George Bush and his entourage would be able to trust the assessment of 16 top intelligence gathering and intelligence analyzing agencies in the United States when they said that Iran is not building a nuclear weapon and has not been for at least the last 4 years. Now, the one word that jumps into my mind here when we look at Bush's reaction to the NIE and, of course, Israel's reaction to this is that there is this air of irrationality to all of it. It seems to be that they have made their minds up that Iran is going to be attacked, and the evidence to the contrary concerning Iran's nuclear weapons program is irrelevant, that this means nothing, that Iran has to be attacked. And so what I'm asking you, sir, is this. What is it all about? Why is it necessary to destroy Iran for Israel's benefit? Now, we hear all the time, how we have to be wary of these religious fanatics with their finger on the nuclear button. But it seems to me that that is precisely the situation that we're dealing with now, dealing with George Bush and his Christian Zionist fundamentalist mindset, and of course these fundamentalists in Israel who feel that you know, that this seems to be religiously mandated that they go to war against Iran. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yes, Mark. I take a more political, realpolitik kind of approach to this. I try to put myself in the shoes of Ariel Sharon and his followers, and I ask myself, it could be that Iran would be a significant threat to us were it to, produce 20 or 30 nuclear weapons, 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. But who knows? Who knows who will be in the White House at that particular point in time? We know who's in the White House now. He well deserves his reputation as, quote, Israel's best friend, end quote. We only have 5 months and 3 weeks left. He promised us that there's nothing in Congress that will stand in the way. All we need to do is find a way to start this thing. And as we know from history, the Israelis are very, very imaginative in protecting what they see as their own interests by starting wars. 67 is the prime example when they sent their emissaries to the White House telling us that Egypt's President Nasser was about to attack, speaking all manner of untruths to our ambassador in Tel Aviv, even on the day that Israel attacked Egypt, and saying that, that we had to do this. It's not surprising when we look at what's happened in the last month. We had the head of intelligence going out there to Tel Aviv. We had Admiral Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, going to Tel Aviv. And the last 2 weeks saw the visit all week, 2 weeks ago, of the Israeli chief of staff. And this week, of course, the Israeli defense minister. Why would they be doing this? Well, you know why? Because Cheney doesn't trust the communicators. Now, if you're going to talk about really delicate things like starting a war, you've got to use what we call the back channel. And the back channel is run by the CIA. It's always been totally trustworthy. Even Kissinger used it, okay? But these guys, they're afraid that even these CIA communicators who never violate confidences cannot be trusted not to tell somebody in the CIA, and they is ipso facto not trusted by Cheney. And so it's got to be personal communications, and that's really, really scary because there have been a host of exchanges just over the last month.
Phil?
Yes, Ray, I've been just glued to the phone here listening to you, and I just can't help but tell you how much I admire you and your openness and candor and speaking out. And I'm thinking of what you're saying is what you're really doing is you're trying to save America. And I'm very, very, very proud of you, and I just wanted to want you to know that. And I also wanted to get your opinion on when things like this do happen, and you're a professional analyst, and you know what's going on, you report what you know to people that have taken an oath to protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and your words and actions become mute to the very people that have swore the same oath of allegiance to this country, and then it goes back and it is revoked, and it turns around that they have to get permission from a foreign government to even before they can go to the bathroom, almost make me want to throw up.
Well, it's been a very strange alliance, and it is not an alliance, as most of your listeners no doubt know. There is no mutual defense treaty that obligates the United States of America to automatically come to Israel's aid or vice versa. And so to call Israel our, quote, ally, end quote, in that sense is an untruth, okay? But, there is this long history of what George Ball, who was the Deputy Secretary of State in the 60s, what he called the passionate attachment. And he borrowed those words, of course, from George Washington, our first president, who warned about passionate attachments to other countries, saying that once a country is deceived into believing that the strategic interests of another country are identical to our country, then we have what we call what George Washington called an entangling alliance, which hinders our freedom of action and gets us involved in wars that we should never be involved in.
Mr. McGovern, Phil, do you have another question?
Yeah, just a follow-up, please, Mark. Thank you.
Go ahead,
Ray. When the USS Liberty was attacked in 1967 on a very sunny, clear day, and we were had been identified as USS Liberty, right down to our hull numbers, they knew exactly who we were. They used unmarked aircraft to attack us as to mask who they were. But we ended up finding out who they were from their torpedo boats because they were flying the Star of David. But my question to you is what was the feeling in the intelligence organization, the intelligence field, the people that worked in that area to find out that our government would not come help us? And basically, in my opinion, we were set up by our own government to sink and blame it on a foreign government such as Egypt and bring the United States into the war. Do you have any comment on that, Ray?
Well, it was clear to us, not only from the evidence you already mentioned, but from intercepted communications, which have now been released by NSA, that the Israelis know exactly what they're doing. So there's no longer any room for doubt. Nor was there room for doubt in those days in the intelligence community that this was a deliberate act by the Israeli government approved at the highest level. So the only question that remains is exactly why they did it. Again, I stress, no doubt that it was deliberate. Some speculation as to exactly why they did it. What you adduce there, Phil, makes a certain amount of sense. The Israelis certainly wanted us to protect them against the Soviets. As a matter of fact, on the very day of the attack, the first attack, that is the beginning of the war, June 5th, 1967, the Israelis called in our ambassador and said, you know, we've had to, quote, retaliate from the threats from Egypt, and we'd like you to make sure that you prevent the Soviet Union from intervening. Now, you talk about chutzpah. Here they are lying through their teeth. There's no other word for it. Here's Aban, who was the foreign minister at the time, telling our ambassador Bobber that Egypt started the war, that the government of Israel, and I quote here, has no intention of taking advantage of the situation to enlarge its territory. It hopes that peace can be restored within present boundaries. Now, and then, of course, he brazenly asked the United States to go up against the USSR on Israel's behalf. Now, that was 41 years ago, if my math is correct, my arithmetic. And that's longer than the Soviets occupied Eastern Europe, for Pete's sake. So here we have them lying to us from the beginning, and all too willing U.S. administration to say, okay, well, we do have to protect Israel, and so of course we did. Now the Liberty thing was completely beyond the pale, and there are three theories that I adduce. One is the one you mentioned about getting the USSR blaming the attack on Egypt. The other makes a little bit more sense to me is the Israelis had also promised that they wouldn't go up on the Golan, and they were going to do that the next day. They had line-of-sight communications up there, which could be intercepted by the Liberty, and they just wanted to make sure the Liberty was out of commission. And the third one was the brutality in Al Arish within eyesight as well as earsight from these intercepted interceptors to realize what had happened there, and that was that about 400 Egyptian prisoners were killed in cold blood after being made to dig their own graves. And we have that from two Israeli journalists and SCADs of Israeli troops who were there at the time. So they looked up and they saw, you know, 11 miles out at sea, here is the USS Liberty intercepting all the communications having to do with this. They didn't want that to get back to Washington either. They thought they needed to sink it. So there are three theories, but again, I stress, no doubt at all, especially now that NSA has has released is an intercept from an Israeli pilot. But it's an American ship. It's got an American flag on it. Sink it. Okay? Sink it from Tel Aviv. So it's, you know, there's no doubt that it was delivered. The theories that are espoused, there are three good ones, it seems to me. I don't know which one is correct.
Mr. McGovern, switching gears just a little bit, bringing us back to the present. You mentioned the fact that Mullen, Admiral Mullen, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, recently went to Israel. And as I wrote about in this week's American Free Press, there were two blurbs appearing in Israeli newspapers, one the Jerusalem Post and the other in Haaretz, about the fact that Mullen sat down with his counterparts and some very high-ranking members of Israel's military apparatus and warned them that we don't need another USS Liberty Part 2. Now, I found this to be extremely important, not the least of which is due to the fact that barely a word has been spoken about between Israel and the United States concerning the Liberty, at least not that we have been able to read about in the mainstream media. So the fact that we have got all of these ships sitting in the Persian Gulf, and we know that there's at least one Israeli sub constantly on patrol in the Persian Gulf, the fact that Seymour Hersh wrote about, back in October of last year, the fact that red targets had been painted on some U.S. ships that were sitting in dock in Qatar. And then we have Mullen going to Israel and telling them, we have to make sure that there is no repeat of what happened in 1967 with the attack on the Liberty. Now, I may be off base, I may be a little bit optimistic here, but it seems to me that there are elements within the military and intelligence apparatus of the United States that have looked towards the horizon and have put the pieces together and said, okay, it is very likely that Israel, not being able to accomplish through political means what she needs to in getting the U.S. to attack Iran, she is going to pull a fast one. That old saying, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. Do you read Mullen being in Israel and saying this to them in that vein, or what explanation do you glean from this that he would be bringing up the subject of the Liberty at this time?
Well, Mark, I haven't seen anything at all in the fawning corporate press or anywhere else about this except your very trenchant article. Have you seen it picked up in any way?
No. Only in the two Israeli publications that I mentioned, the Jerusalem Post and in Haaretz, it was only mentioned on a blog that one of their regular writers maintains.
Yeah.
I believe it was Rosner's blog.
Yeah. So the point I'm making is that if you don't get the alternative press, including what Mark and Phil and others write, you don't get it, okay? You're absolutely right, Mark. This is big. This is very big. Mullen is a naval officer. He's an admiral. He cares about Navy sailors. And I'm sure that he's incensed at the notion that 34 were killed and over 170 injured by this blatant Israeli attack in 1967. He's the first person of his rank to speak up. And what he's telling the Israelis is, look, you know, I know what happened. I know what you did. The Israeli press still, of course, says it was just a terrible mistake. But Mullen knows. And I'm sure that he braced them as courageously as he could. But Mark and Phil, that may not matter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What all matters is whom the Israelis take seriously.
Mm-hmm.
The last person that the Israeli defense minister met with in Washington was, guess who? Vice President Dick Cheney. And if Vice President Dick Cheney told Ehud Barak, look, you know, I understand that these military folks, you know, they're interested in their military stuff, but we know what the real game is. Don't pay much attention to Mullen. If we order the commencement of Plan A, he'll salute sharply and we'll take care of those Iranians. That's what matters, and that's what scares me to death.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, I don't want to put you in an embarrassing or difficult position here.
I'm used to it.
But given what we know about Israeli spying on the U.S. Prior to 9/11, and the fact that there were several teams of Mossad officers arrested on 9/11 and afterwards.
See, I didn't see that in the 9/11 commission report, Mark.
No, I
wonder why it wasn't in that report.
Maybe they were drinking decaffeinated coffee that day and it just seemed to slip their attention. But what I'm concerned about, Ray, is the fact that we have Jay Kristol, the bankruptcy judge in Miami, going to Israel and lecturing at Tel Aviv and Haifa and telling them, you know, we have to make sure this doesn't happen. My thinking is that they are planning something bigger. And there is that dang music again. Oh, goodness. We got to do something about these commercials. All right, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We will be right back to continue this fascinating discussion. Don't go away.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to pay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Would you trade your freedom for a fresh tomato? Before you laugh, just look at the news headlines. The world food shortage is real and is happening right now. Are you prepared? Do you have a long-term food solution? Time is running out. Visit survivalistseeds.com. Learn how you can have healthy food for just 4 pennies a pound. The choice between abundance and starvation is made today, not when it's too late. Order from survivalistseeds.com today and get a free instructional video on how to make a portable water filter. That's survivalistseeds.com. Get 5,000 pounds of fresh food for 4 pennies a pound. Learn how to never run out of food at survivalistseeds.com. That's survivalistseeds.com. Remember, your lack of action today will determine your suffering after the collapse. Survivalistseeds.com. Because patriots never run out of food.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, for the last 5 minutes of the first hour of the two-hour show, Liberty Hour, and our special guests, Ray McGovern, and, of course, my co-host, Mark Glenn with American Free Press. And, again, thank you, Ray, for being on the show. It's very kind of you. We certainly appreciate it. And hope that next hour, when we get our callers in, you'll get a lot of interesting people that want to talk to you. But I do have a question that Mark asked me to ask you during the break, is that believe in your heart, mind, and soul, or perhaps your other colleagues, that maybe Israel is planning something bigger in the future, Ray, or do you think they're just going to stay the course?
Well, Phil and Mark, I think it's obviously something bigger. The name of the game is to decapitate the Iranian nuclear program, whether it's aimed at a weapon or not, and to do that within the next 5.5 months. So when we talk about the possibility, as Cy Hirsch has talked about it now, you're probably familiar with his most recent comments, mm-hmm. where he publicly said that after that bogus incident in January, Cheney convened various important people and said, now, how do we create a casus belli for war? You know, how do we create a pretext for war? And one of the possibilities that stuck in Hirsch's craw, and which was not in the New Yorker article he wrote, was the notion of building PT boats looking like Iranian ones, painting them with Iranian colors, and having them shoot up some U.S. naval ships as they came through the strait. Now, Hirsch hastens to add that this was overruled because it would have Americans killing Americans, but there's ample evidence that not only the Israelis, but the Vice President Cheney is also planning this kind of provocation. The answer to your question is that this is just the first step. This is what both sides would think needed to be able to persuade their populaces that, major strike would be necessary on Iran. And, once this kind of thing happened, then the U.S. would, I think, give Israel overflight privileges over Iraq. First wave of airstrikes would happen. Iran would be required, in their mind, to respond in some way. We would be in big time, as the president himself has already promised. If Israel is attacked in any way, we will immediately come to the military support of our quote ally end quote. So that's the way it would start. The way it would end is big time, as you and Mark are suggesting.
Ray, we're going to be going to a break here in just a minute, but I want to introduce two questions to you. Number one, Iranian capability as far as being able to defend herself. We've heard a lot of talk about her missile defenses and whatnot. So what I would like to ask from you is, what is, and you don't have to answer it all at once, because like I said, we're going to be going through a series of interruptions here in the next minute or so, but I'd like to prepare you and the listeners for this next segment of the discussion. Number one, Iranian capabilities. I mean, after all, Iran did not go through 10 years of sanctions like Iraq did. She's a much larger country, and of course she enjoys something of a cozy relationship with Russia. Now, that's number one. And number two, what are the secondary effects of this going to be in terms of Russia and China and the rest of them, if indeed the United States does go forward in this insane attack on Iran? And there is that insane music indicating we're going to a break. We will be back after these messages, and we'll go ahead with this discussion. Everybody, stay tuned.
Shoving into overdrive.